When a man becomes a bishop, one of the first tasks that he is entrusted with, one of the first things he has to do is come up with what's called his episcopal model, his episcopal motto. What he plans to kind of live or base his life as a bishop by. And so in for us in Wichita, Bishop Kimmy, he chose the episcopal motto of humilitas, one single word, humilitas, humility. Bishop Brungart of Dodge City, formerly a priest of Wichita, his episcopal motto he chose from the story of the prodigal son, filled with compassion, so that the father saw the son and he was filled with compassion. So normally the episcopal motto is drawn from a line of scripture, and that's where the motto comes from. In seminary, when I was back in seminary, we used to always sit around breakfast, and from time to time we'd always talk about, hey, if you were a bishop, what would your episcopal motto be? And I thought today's gospel would provide an excellent episcopal motto. This one here. I think this would be great. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Wouldn't that be awesome? And parents, you can use that with your kids too. It'd be fine. You have my permission. You are my friends if you do what I command you. It was for me, it was a toss-up between that or John 21, verse 3. And Peter said, I'm going fishing. I don't think I have to worry about being a bishop, but just in case, I have those in my back pocket. So today's gospel, though, it's a continuation of last week. So if you recall last week, if you were here last week, that kind of the idea of remain. If you remain in my love, remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Remain, remain, remain. That was last week. And so Jesus, this gospel follows immediately after last week's gospel. And he goes, as the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love, so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. And that's the idea of like remaining in God, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Christ's joy in us is the Holy Spirit. So that's kind of We're set up from last week flowing into this week. But then there's this really kind of important shift that happens. 10 times in this gospel, 10 times throughout it's 7 verses, 10 times in 7 verses, Jesus uses the word love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you. This is my commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for my friends. All like love, 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 love. So this idea of friendship, you are my friends. I no longer call you slaves, but friends. There's a shift that happens. Twice in this gospel, he reiterates his command. This is my commandment, love one another as I have loved you. And then the very last line of the gospel, usually in our gospel pericope, the section that we read on any given Sunday, the last line, very often, the last line, that's the punchline, that's the point. And again, he reiterates, this I command you, love one another. Awesome, great. You know, St. Augustine says, he said, love and then do what you will. It's this command to love. And again, that's wonderful. But in 2024, I feel like the word love has been hijacked. And in English, and when we use the word English, I mean, the word love has a ton of different meanings. You can love pizza, and you can love the Chiefs, and you can love your wife, and you can love your mom. But in very different ways, very different senses, but we use the same word love. And I guess you could differentiate and maybe say we use the word like. I like the NFL, but we could interchangeably use the word love of like, I really love this. But in the Greeks, in the Greek language, they had 4 different words that they would use for love. And so when any native Greek speaker would read the gospel in its original language, they would recognize instantly what Jesus is saying in this. This I command you, agape one another. That's the word that's used here. Agape. So in these 4 senses of love that the Greeks had, and all 4 of them show up throughout the Gospels in various places, but In today's gospel, the word that's used over and over and over again is agape. So the first of those four loves, the weakest one, is storge. And storge is like, it's camaraderie, it's community, it's like, it's a love of like, I don't know, if we have something in common, you know? I'm from Wichita, I'm from Kansas, I'm from St. Peter's. And so when I see somebody else that's from my community, there's an automatic connection there. When you're on the road driving up to Arrowhead and going to go watch a Chiefs game and you're all in your Chiefs gear and you see somebody else at the gas station and they're all dressed in red and we're all going to Arrowhead, there's storge there, right? Like there's a community, a connectedness that we're all, but that only goes so far. That's the weakest type of love. And then up from that is the next type of love that the Greeks had was philios. And that's where the word Philadelphia comes from. And Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. Because philios means brotherly love. It's the love of a brother for a brother. And one day we'll get into this, but that gospel between Jesus and Peter, and you might have heard this before. Peter, do you love me? Do you philios me? Yes, Lord, you know, or excuse me. Peter, do you agape me? Yes, Lord, you know I philios you. We don't catch it in English, but there's definitely a bait and switch that Peter's trying to do. I don't agape you. I can only philios. But agape is the higher love. So storge, philios, and then eros. That's where in English we get the word erotic. So the erotic is, you know, the romantic or the sexual, but it doesn't necessarily have to be that. Eros is the love between lovers, but it's more like a passionate, fiery kind of love. You can be passionate about your work. You can be passionate about your ministry, but there's something where it's just like there's a rootedness. Like, so it's not necessarily romantic, but oftentimes that's the direction it's been taken, is more of the romantic style of or part of love, the love of lovers. But then there's agape, the fourth and the highest kind of love. Now, St. Thomas Aquinas defines agape as to will the good of the other for the other's sake. To will the good of the other for the other's sake. Now, if you will, the will is part of our soul. It's a faculty of the soul. It is the highest faculty of the soul. It is, I would go so far as to say that the will is what sets us apart from any other creature that's ever been made, other than, I guess, the angels. But it sets us apart. It is the will that makes us made in the image and likeness of God, because God has a will and he gave us a will. And so in order to love, you have to engage your soul to make a choice. I will, I choose your good. I choose, I desire what is best for you. And your soul has to enact the will. It's not just the mind, it's the soul itself that wills the good. But it's not just a good for me. I don't want what's best for you because it happens to come back around and benefit me somehow. And I think that's one of the ways that love has been hijacked and polluted. The word love has been polluted in our language, where the old bumper sticker, you ever see the equal sign, blue and yellow bumper sticker? It's like the equal sign, and it basically means love is love. That homosexual love is the same as heterosexual love. And I would argue that that's an equivocation of the word love. That you're confusing philios with agape. And you're trying to use them synonymously, but they are not synonymous. And that's where I would say, like, a part of our society as a whole has been swept away and kind of confused on what love is. To love is to will the good of the other. Now, when Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. He also says in the gospel, love one another as I have loved you. Well, how did Christ love us? To the death. He loved us to the death. He loved us with every single drop of his blood. There is no greater love than to lay down your life for your friends. Why is that the case? Because to love is to will the good of the other for their sake. When you lay down your life for somebody, you are doing it. There's no greater way. You can't have an ulterior motive when you lay down your life for somebody. That's not benefiting Jesus by dying on the cross, so to speak. It's done for the sake of the other. And it's interesting, St. John Paul II said, you know, what's the opposite of love? The opposite of love is not hatred. The opposite of love is use. When you use another person. Because you're not willing their good for their sake. You're willing their good because it makes me feel good. Loving is not easy. I would dare say that this might be the absolute toughest teaching in all of Scripture. The hardest thing that the Lord has not just asked. This isn't an ask. There's nothing asking. I command you. This is a commandment. I command you. Love one another. And unless you're reading some other version that I've never seen, unless there's something else that's in there, like a little asterisk that says, love one another, asterisk, unless you don't like them. Then you're off the hook. My version doesn't say that, but maybe you're reading a different version somewhere else. But from what I can see, love one another, period, at the end of that sentence. And it's easy to love somebody that we like, right? The people that are around us, that we get along with, that have a funny sense of humor, that makes us feel good. It's easy to love those people. That's a piece of cake. But what about the people we don't have storge for? What about those people who dropped on their heads and grew up to be Broncos fans, right? Like, we have to love them too. Love one another. There's no qualifications on this. Dorothy Day, I remember hearing a quote from her. A priest said this in a homily. I don't know. I was young. I was like 7 or 8 years old, early 90s. And it stuck with me all of these years later. But he was quoting a priest on EWTN, said this in a homily, he was quoting Dorothy Day, and he said, you love God no more than the person you love the least. You love God no more than the person that you love the least. Or, you can flip that around, you love God no more than the person that you hate the most. If that's the case, and I do believe that is the case, it makes perfect sense why Jesus commands. He's not, this is about us. I mean, Jesus, there's a few times throughout the Gospels where Jesus takes a soft approach and whatever, but this is not one of them. It is a black and white, firm, I command you, twice in this Gospel. This is my commandment, love one another as I have loved you. This I command you, love one another. If our love for humanity, for the person we love the least is down here, then the maximum that we can love God is also down here. That is tough, brothers and sisters. We're talking about agape, to will their good. Now, you don't have to like them. You don't have to take them golfing on the weekend, and you don't have to invite them over to have dinner with you. But you do have to love them. If you refuse to love, if you refuse to forgive, if there's that person that somebody just mentions their name and you throw up in the back of your mouth a little bit, that person, Anytime you find that in your heart, that is where you have to be converted, because you cannot bring that with you into heaven. It will not fit. You either let go of it here and now, or the Lord will pry it out of your fingers one at a time in purgatory, and it is painful. Or if you enact your will and you choose that I'm going to hang on to this anger, this frustration, this unforgiveness, this hatred, and you enact your will and your soul is wrapped around that lead weight of hatred, it will drag you to the pit of hell. It's that serious. That's why he's commanding us. Love one another. Easily the hardest thing the Lord asks of us. Not some watered down, do whatever feels good, love is love, everything is equal, but deep, sacrificial, willing the good of the other for their own sake. This I command you, love one another.